Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of For You From E. We are back with another For You Friday series. In case you are new here, my name is Olivia Eve. Every single Friday, I like to get on and do a solo episode where I talk to you guys about topics that either you have asked me to talk about or that I've been thinking of talking about myself. In the past week, I've been reading this book called The Mountain Is You. And it is a book about transforming self-sabotage into self-mastery. And it is basically a book about why we do things, when we do things, and how to stop doing them when it comes to self-sabotage and ruining a good thing that's coming our way because we're scared that maybe the good thing is too good for us or maybe the outcome of the good thing won't be so good. And I feel like being in your 20s, you go through so many different chapters. You know, you go through so many different characters and heartbreaks and happiness, and you go through so many different moments and experiences, and your 20s really are such a big time for you to grow. And I feel like your 20s are so different for everyone. You could be 25 starting college, you could be 25 graduating college, you could be 25 starting a family or getting out of your first serious relationship. I feel like in your 20s, you are just in so many different experiences, especially compared to the people around you. And you're losing friends, you're making friends, you're getting into relationships, you're getting out of relationships, you're realizing what you like in a relationship and what you don't like in a relationship. There's so many things about you that change when you're in your 20s. And I picked up this book, I want to say a few months ago, but I never really opened it up. And I kind of just picked up this book thinking it'll have a few good quotes in it. It'll have a few things that I can learn from. I never saw myself as someone who self-sabotages. But then as I was reading the book, I was like, you know what? You know, I feel like a lot of people self-sabotage in ways that they're not aware of, where we don't really take the risk on something because we are afraid of failure and we are afraid of not getting our usual outcome. Or maybe we took that similar step in the past and we're scared to do it again. It's like when you give your heart to someone and then they break it and you're like, okay, well, my heart was way better off when it was just with me. And now why would I ever want to give it to someone else ever again and give someone the potential to break it? And that's what I think of, at least when I think of self-sabotage, is kind of hurting yourself before giving someone else the opportunity to hurt you. And that's why in today's episode, I want to go through this book, because I think that is a very common thing people go through, especially in their 20s, because you go through so many new people and heartbreaks and situations where you just can't really see the good in people anymore. You might lose trust for people a lot faster, and it's a lot easier to kind of just close the book on a situation and get rid of the situation once and for all, get rid of that person once and for all, because you would rather that than have to actually heal and deal with your emotions. And I think a lot of the time when someone good is brought into our lives, when we're in a more broken part of our lives, we really don't know how to handle it. I've seen so many people let people go because they're just in such a bad point of their lives, and this is a good person that they don't want to drag into it, and also a good person where they don't really know how to handle the situation. They don't really know how to handle a good thing in their life when everything they've ever known was bad. And I think that's why this book is so amazing, because it really just does help you get rid of damaging habits where you self-sabotage. It helps you kind of bring in the good and appreciate the good and know how to act when there's good in front of you. So I've been reading this book for the past week. I've been taking a few notes on it, putting a few post-it notes and annotating it. And I want to kind of just go through some of the things that I went through today. I feel like it could help a lot when it comes to self-sabotage. And I just want to go through some of the things the book said and then also my own notes and my own take on it. So if you haven't heard of this book, I'm going to link it down below. This isn't sponsored, nothing. This is called The Mountain Is You by Brianna Wiest or West. I'm not too sure. And it is just such an amazing book. It says in the back, coexisting and conflicting needs create self-sabotaging behaviors. This is why we resist efforts to change, often until they feel completely futile. By extracting crucial insight from our most damaging habits, building emotional intelligence by better understanding our brains and bodies, releasing past experiences at a cellular level, and learning to act as our highest potential future selves, we can step out of our own way and into our potential. For centuries, the mountain has been used as a metaphor for the big challenges we face, especially ones that seem impossible to overcome. To scale our mountains, we actually have to do the deep internal work of excavating trauma, building resilience, and adjusting how we show up for the climb. In the end, it is not the mountain we master, but ourselves. So that's why the title is called The Mountain Is You, because you have to overcome yourself. You're not necessarily overcoming these things in your path or these people in your path, you're overcoming who you are. You're overcoming the battle with yourself internally. And that's why I love this book so much, because everything is from your perspective. Everything is connecting to you, to your past self, to your present self, to your future self. So I want to go ahead and get into some of the things that stood out to me from this book. Okay, so this was one of my favorite parts of it, which is just accepting denial and kind of just being very honest with yourself. I think you need to have a lot of tough love when it comes to bettering yourself and bettering your life. You cannot sugarcoat things to yourself. You have to have tough love. You have to have tough skin, and you have to be very brutally honest with yourselves. You have to tell yourself if you're not happy with the life that you're living. You have to, if you're going to be honest with anyone in this world, it's got to be with yourself. And I think a lot of the time we're in denial about being unhappy, and we act like we're happy and we act like we're okay with the way things are. But if you're listening to this episode, or if you opened this book up, you know, whatever it might be, I think it's, you know, kind of a wake up call, and it's time to get real with yourself and realize there is something about your life that you want to change. And you could be happy in your life and love your life, but still want to change things about it. Your growth is infinite, and I feel like you can never stop growing. And it's so important to make sure that you're not settling for a life that's less than what you deserve. And if you love yourself so much, you are not going to settle for that. And that goes for anything. That goes for the person that you're with, the friendships that you're in, the family that you spend time with. You are going to be very aware of what is worth your time and energy when you love yourself, because you're going to think to yourself, I give myself this happiness. I give myself this love. How do these people compare in the way that they give me happiness and love? I'm going to read a little bit of this page because I really loved the way that it was said. And I feel like when it comes to just being in denial about your personal state of affairs, it's very hard to kind of pull yourself out of that rut and be like, we're not happy here. We need to get up, we need to grow, and we need to go. So what it says in this book is, if you think that you could be doing better in life, you might be right. If you think that there is more that you are here to accomplish, you might be right. If you think that you are not being your authentic self, you might be right. It does not serve us to use endless affirmations to placate our true feelings about where we are in our journey. When we do this, we start disassociating and get stuck. In an effort to love ourselves, we try to validate everything about who we are. Yet those warm sentiments never quite seem to stick, only ever temporarily numbing the discomfort. Why don't they work? Because deep down we know we are not quite being who we want to be. And until we accept this, we are never going to find peace. When we're in denial, we tend to go into blame mode. We look for anyone or anything to explain why we are the way we are, and then we start to justify it. If you have to constantly, on a near daily basis, rationalize why you're unhappy about your life, you're not doing yourself any favors. You are not getting any closer to creating the lasting change that you so deeply desire. And then also, when you keep going down, there's a quote that says, the greatest act of self-love is to no longer accept a life you are unhappy with. It is to be able to state the problem plainly and in a straightforward manner. And I feel like that's such a good way to put it, where it's like, we always have something to blame. There is always, always, always an excuse. Always, no matter what. I could get a bad grade on a test. Well, I didn't study good because of this. I was stressed about this. I didn't have the time because of this. My professor did this. The students did this. The classroom was like this. There is an excuse for all of our unwarranted behavior all the time. Anytime that we are not proud of a decision we made or a choice we made or an act we made, there's always an excuse we have for it all of the time. And the first step in self-love is acceptance. It's not living in denial. And it's telling yourself, this is a mistake I made. This is a mistake I don't want to make again. This is a life I don't want to continue living, and I'm going to pull myself out of it, and I'm going to make that change. And I feel like a lot of the time, it's very difficult to pull yourself out of that and to pull yourself out of that state of denial and to tell yourself, you know, this needs to change. And we lie to ourselves so much sometimes, and we could say, well, I don't know how, I can't change my life because I'm still living at home. I can't change my life because I don't have enough money. I can't change my life because I'm still in school. And I'm, you know, you're in an environment that you've outgrown. And I've always say it's very tough to grow in an environment that you've outgrown. But I always also say, you can't change the people around you, but you can change the people around you. You know, you can't change how the people around you are. You can't change how the environment you're in is, but you can change the way you view these people. You can change how much you value these people. You can change how much these people can impact your life and how big of a part of your life they are. You can change how you view this environment that you're in. You're allowed to change the way that you work and live in this environment. And so I feel like that's such a good kind of thing to remember is even though if you can't change your certain circumstance, you can change it. You know, it's like you have the power to change your life whenever you want. And it's easier said than done than others. It's easier said than done. And it's obviously, maybe it is easier for the person who's more financially stable because they can pack their bags and move out and go where they want. They can go travel and, you know, find themselves in that way. But I think honestly, when you don't have that access, when you don't have the money for it, or maybe even the time for it, and you have to make the money for it and you have to make the time for it, you are going to build and grow through that process. You don't want to have everything handed to you. You don't want to have $1 million handed to you. You want to have to work for that $1 million because it's not the goal that changes us. It's the journey to get to the goal that changes us. And I think that's something we often forget as well, is we don't grow once we get the outcome, right? If your goal is to have $1 million by the age of 25, if someone handed you $1 million at the age of 25, you did not grow. You did not learn anything. You did not go through any hardships. You are the same exact person you were when you made that dream. But if from ages 18 to 25, you worked to get that million, you built character and you grew through that journey. And that's what I mean when I say the journey grows you, not the outcome, not the end goal. So you don't want to be handed your dreams. You don't want to be handed, you know, your success. You want that to be something you work for. It's something you're supposed to fail and get back up on. It's something you're supposed to struggle with. You're supposed to struggle to change, because if it wasn't a struggle, everyone would do it. If creating the better version of yourself and all that stuff wasn't hard, everybody in the world would be the best version of themselves possible. But there's only a few that actually put themselves through that. And there's only a few that actually have the desire to do that and can be honest with themselves and know that they need that change and put in the work. There's work that has to be done when you are becoming a better version of yourself. And I always say it's fun work. It's fun to work on yourself. It's fun to go on walks and listen to podcasts and journal and meditate and work out and make new friends and start working on your side hustle and chasing success. Those things are fun if you make them fun. If you look at it as a chore and a task and something you have to do because Olivia on For You For Me told me I have to, then it's not going to be fun for you. But if you make it something where you have goals and you have a vision board, and you make an aesthetic out of it, and you make a lifestyle out of it, and you talk about it, and you fantasize about it, and romanticize it, it will be fun. Something I really am not the biggest fan of is school. I hate studying. I hate homework. Not crazy about being on campus and doing all that work, whatever. But I have to force myself to romanticize it. I have to tell myself, this is the chapter of life that I'm in. This is something I have to be doing. So if I have to be doing it, I'm going to make the most out of having to do it. So I feel like that's a good reminder too, of kind of just letting yourself know, this is the chapter of life that I'm in. This is how I can grow through this chapter of my life. And this is how I'm going to grow to make the next chapter of my life a chapter that I'm very proud of writing. And that's why I love that page so much, because it's telling you, if you think that you could be better, you probably are right. You probably could be better. Everyone in this world could be better. But if there's things that you wish you had or things that you wish you were that you're just not there yet, you have the potential and you have the power to be that person and to make those changes. But you just have to start by being honest with the fact that that's a change that you want. Okay, you guys, I have a quick word from our friends at Liquid IV. I have been obsessed with my Liquid IV packets recently. They are so easy to bring anywhere, and they are also now available sugar-free. I have so many of the amazing flavors. My favorite is the lime one. It's just so refreshing with some water, some ice, and it just gives you the best hydration ever, especially because the summer has been so amazing. It's been perfect for my hot girl walks for extra energy and extra hydration. My favorite thing about Liquid IV, besides the flavors and keeping up with your hydration, is just how easy it is. It is in the most convenient packaging ever. I bring it anytime I go on trips, especially if I'm gonna have a little bit of a hangover in the morning. It's really good to chug it the night before, and you will not wake up with a hangover, and you will actually enjoy going out and getting drinks with your friends. One stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you 2 times faster and more efficiently than water alone. And I know so many of my friends complain about drinking plain water. It's boring and it makes them not hydrate themselves. So when they have a flavor to look forward to, they are able to hydrate themselves throughout the day. And it also contains 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness with 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks. It's non-GMO and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. Real people, real flavor, real hydrating, and now sugar-free. Grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free and bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get a little discount online and get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code FROMEVE at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you use promo code FROMEVE at liquidiv.com. Okay, you guys, I am so excited to talk about our friends at Factor. So now that school is coming around the corner again and we're going to be extra super busy, it's going to be very difficult to keep up with our diets and make sure that we're eating ready to eat meals that are super healthy. And we are always looking for ways to save time, eat well, and stay on track with our healthy lifestyles. Factor is America's number one ready to eat meal kit and helps you fuel it fast with chef prepared, dietitian approved, ready to eat meals that are delivered straight to your door and that you get to customize. Time is such a big thing for me, especially when school starts and I have to worry about exams and homework, going to the gym, working on my podcast, and it just becomes such a busy season and I end up falling so off track with the way that I'm eating. So Factor has been such an amazing help on keeping track of eating clean. This August, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door, ready in just 2 minutes, no prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/FROMEVE50 and use code FROMEVE50 to get 50% off. That's code FROMEVE50 at factormeals.com/FROMEVE50 to get 50% off. I will link it in the description below. Let's continue with the episode. And then there's also a page in the book that I actually posted on my Instagram story because I always, always preach this. It says, your new life is going to cost you your old one. It's going to cost you your comfort zone and your sense of direction. It's going to cost you relationships and friends. It's going to cost you being liked and understood. It doesn't matter. The people who are meant for you are going to meet you on the other side. You're going to build a new comfort zone around the things that actually move you forward. Instead of being liked, you're going to be loved. Instead of being understood, you're going to be seen. All you're going to lose is what was built for a person you no longer are. Remaining attached to your old life is the first and final act of self-sabotage, and releasing it is what we must be prepared for to truly be willing to see real change. I always say your old life is going to cost you your new one, and that is not a bad thing. That might actually be one of the best things for some of us. And I feel like when it comes to stepping out of that comfort zone, it is very scary. And I always say humans would rather predict failure and keep the same patterns than risk success. They would rather keep doing the same things and keep failing and not growing than stepping out of that comfort zone, making that change. And I love how it says, all you're going to lose is what was built for a person you no longer are. I think so many times we live in this like little box and this little lie of someone that we aren't really proud of who we are, someone that we wouldn't even be friends with ourselves. And we build this whole personality around this person that we no longer are, and we're surrounded by people that we don't align with. We get bored in conversation. We don't enjoy going out with these people, and we can't understand why. And I think a lot of the time it's because we're not being our true selves, so we're not attracting the right people. When you're your true self, when you show the things you value and you show your morals and you show your interests, you are going to attract people who are the same as you. And I feel like a lot of the time we put ourselves in this like little bubble of this is who I've always been, so this is who I'm going to be, instead of this is who I want to be. And when we become who we want to be, we will lose people along the way. But like this book says, the right people will meet you on the other end of it. You have to be around people who support you and love you and want the best for you, because when you're working on yourself, the journey can get lonely. A few months ago, and even in the past few months in general, like my phone is on Do Not Disturb a lot more. There was a point where for a few months, I had my phone on Do Not Disturb all the time. I wasn't really hanging out. I wasn't going out with anyone because I was going through my own mental health stuff. I was dealing with really bad anxiety, a little bit of sadness, and I was just not my best mentally. And when I was at this low point, which I think we all get to a low point like this that we need to be pulled out of, and we need to do it ourselves, right? There's not always someone to hold our hand and pull us through the journey. Sometimes we have to pick ourselves up and we have to say, okay, I don't know who this is. I don't recognize this person. You are not being your best self. And for months, I was like rotting in bed in the worst mental health state ever. I didn't want to go out with my friends on the weekends. I wasn't making new friends or valuing my friendships. I wasn't doing anything except legit rotting in bed and wasting my days. And when I was at this low point, I was like, no, you have to pull yourself out of this. You have to be better. This is not who you want to be. This is not who you are. And then for a few months, I went on this like whole self-love healing journey. And it was so like internally based, where I was really just focusing on everything on the inner. Like my phone was on Do Not Disturb pretty much every single day. I was doing schoolwork. I was working as many hours as I could. I was working extra on my podcast. I was going to the gym every day. I was going on walks. I was listening to podcasts again. I started journaling again and meditating again. and just started to like be my best self again for months, and I wasn't focused. I started going out with my friends again. I started making new friends and valuing my friendships and putting time and effort in my friendships. I wasn't thinking about things that had hurt me in the past. I wasn't thinking about that past life that is no longer mine. And I feel like once you kind of like put your mind to that and you put your mind towards, I want to be better, nothing is going to stop you. At the end of the day, the things you prioritize and the things you really want to do will get done and they will be prioritized. But you have to convince yourself that this is a life that you want and you're not going to quit until you get it. And there are things that you have to let go of. There's things that, you know, you have to kind of just realize that you outgrew. People that you have to realize you outgrew. I've cut people out of my life, not in like a harsh, I'm never talking to you again, bye, at way, but in a way where when I was working on myself, if they felt like they weren't getting enough attention from me, or if they felt like I wasn't valuing it enough, and I communicated, this is how I am doing, I'm not doing great right now, and I need to take this time for myself. And if they say, I don't want to deal with that, goodbye, you know, don't let the door hit them on the way out. That's not someone that you need in your life. That's not someone that needs to be in your life. And so I do think it's super important to kind of just, you know, be at a space with yourself where you are surrounded by people who are going to respect that you need some time to yourself and you need some time to heal on your own, and they can support you on the outside. They can be there for you when you need them. And when you come out of it on the other end, they will still be there hanging out with you and supporting you and letting you know that, you know, the way that you felt is valid, that your feelings and your emotions are valid. And so I think it's just so important to notice that you might lose people along the way. The healing journey can be a very lonely journey, and the self-love journey can be a journey where you are alone. But once you do start loving yourself and you start loving your own company, you're never going to feel lonely, even when you're alone, because you're going to love your own company. Something else this book talks about is kind of how to block out negative thoughts such as embarrassment and guilt and anger and sadness. And when it comes to sadness, it says in the book, sadness is the normal and correct response to the loss of something you very much love. This is an emotion that often comes up in the aftermath of a disappointment. This could be the loss of a relationship, a job, or just the general idea of what you thought your life would be. Sadness only becomes problematic when we do not allow ourselves to go through the natural phases of grief. Sadness does not release itself all at once. In fact, we often find that it happens in waves, some of which strike us at unexpected times. We do not ever need to feel embarrassed or wrong for needing to cry, feel down, or miss what we no longer have. In fact, crying at appropriate times is one of the biggest signs of mental strength, as people who are struggling often find it difficult to release their feelings and be vulnerable. When it says, this could be the loss of a relationship or job or just a general idea of what you thought your life would be. It is so difficult to lose a life you thought you were going to have, or to lose a life that you expected to have soon. And this is something that happens to so many people. You have a job, you're working this job, and you expect all these great things from this job, and then you get fired. And it's like, that's not your path. That path has been closed off. You don't get to see the end. You don't get to see the ending of it. You don't get to see the outcome. You don't get to see what would have happened if you didn't get fired. You have to close that book. That chapter ended abruptly. You're in a relationship and you expect to marry this person. You expect to have kids with this person. All of a sudden you break up. That's not your life anymore. That's not your path anymore. And that's a life that you have to let go of. That's a dream that you have to let go of. You're playing a sport, you get injured, you think you're gonna go pro, you think, you know, you're gonna go play D1 in college and have this scholarship, you get injured, that's not your path anymore. That's not the life you're supposed to have. And when we expect this life that we're supposed to have, or we expect these people, right, when you expect a relationship to end in marriage and kids, you know, which is majority of the time the case, you know, when you're in a relationship, you know, most of the time expect this person to be your husband and your wife, and you expect to have kids with this person. You expect to, you know, have a future with them, I should say. And when that relationship ends, you have to grieve the life you thought you were going to have. You have to grieve this person that is still alive, and you have to grieve a life that is still possible to live. And I think it's such a difficult thing to grieve someone who's still alive and who's still living, but you just don't know them anymore. It's so weird that someone you dated for so long, or someone that you were friends with for so long, is having all these experiences. They're still waking up for work every day. They're still going to the gym. They're still filling up their water bottles. They're still, you know, waking up and tying their shoes. They're still doing all these things. The world is still revolving, right? The birds are still chirping. The grass is still growing. The sky is still blue, but you don't remember what this person's voice sounds like. You're grieving the loss of this person, and you're grieving the loss of a person that you can reach out to if you want to, that you can find in the streets if you really wanted to. And that's where the self-control comes in of the no contact, right? Breaking no contact and releasing that old life that is not meant to be yours. Because if it was meant to be yours, it would come back to you or it would have never left you. And that is such a hard thing to deal with. And that's why it's called sadness, because it's sad to think about the fact that the life you thought you were going to have is not the life you're supposed to have. And it's like, it doesn't make sense to you in those moments of sadness. And like it said also in the book, I always say healing comes in waves, and sometimes the waves hit the rocks. And on the days that the waves hit the rocks, it's very hard for you to understand why this wave crashed. It's very hard for you to understand why that wasn't supposed to be your life. And this is something we might not ever understand, because it's something we might not have to understand. We might not have to understand why that relationship ended for a very long time. But then once you're in a more loving relationship, once you're in a relationship that you couldn't even imagine being so happy in, it makes sense why the other ones didn't work out. When you get fired from that job and then you get hired at a much better position with a much better pay and a place you're much happier at, it makes sense why you were fired from the other job. And I feel like that's when things don't start to come together to us until we're successful and until we're happy. But when we are at those sad low points, it's very, very difficult to understand why that had to happen. What is the reason behind me losing my job and not being able to pay my rent? What is the reason that this relationship ended on love? Nothing bad happened. No one cheated. No one was angry. We just fell out of love. And now I have to be depressed about someone I spent so much time with. What is the reason for that? And when we're in those moments of sadness, it's almost impossible to find a good reason as to why we were put in that position, because the sadness that we're feeling is just so unbearable that we're like, there's no good coming out of this. There's no good things coming out of this. There's no reason for this happening. And until we find that good, until we find that happiness, we won't know why it happened to us in the beginning. But showing that emotion, I saw this quote on TikTok the other day, actually, because I'm someone that is really bad at showing emotion. I'm very bad at showing that I'm sad about something or crying in front of someone. It takes a lot for me to kind of unbottle up those emotions. And I was talking to my friend about this actually this morning, about just like having emotions and feeling and not being cold-hearted, and how a lot of the times we show that we're cold-hearted people because we don't want people to take advantage of our emotions and our feelings. We don't want people to see us vulnerable. We don't want people to see our emotions, because when people see you're vulnerable and when people see your emotions, for very vicious people and very untrustworthy people, that's their way of attacking, and that's a way that they know that they could attack you and sabotage you and manipulate you. You know, some people are not that great and not that loving, and all they see is emotion as a way to manipulate. And so you kind of keep that bottled in and you hide that because you're afraid to show someone that you care. But then I saw this quote on TikTok, and it says, you're supposed to care. You're supposed to feel, for the love of God and all things good and pure, feel something. Open your heart, be vulnerable, be soft, be full of love and messy, and cry your heart out. Love and feel and love. You're supposed to care. It is okay to care. To love, to hurt, and cry. Please, for the love of the world, care, feel, love, be a mess of love and feelings. We need open hearts and kind eyes with beaming souls. And when I read that, I was like, feeling is a beautiful thing. Like, emotions are a beautiful thing. Being vulnerable is a beautiful thing. And at the end of the day, you might give your heart to the wrong person, but you should never, ever, ever regret giving your heart to someone, because you stay true to yourself, you stay true to who you are. And I think that's the more important thing than being rejected or being ghosted. You know, you could show someone your emotions and get ghosted because they're not at the same emotional maturity level as you. And I think a lot of the time we give our hearts to the wrong people, and we give our hearts to people who are not worthy of our hearts, who are not ready for our type of love. I think that is the biggest thing, is that sometimes we give our hearts and we give our love to someone who is not ready to accept it. And then when they ghost us or when they get rid of us and they don't accept that type of love, we think our love is too much, our love is too strong. But you're never asking for too much. You're never giving too much. You're just giving it to the wrong person. And I think that is such an important thing to remember. It's never a weak thing to love and to feel deeply. And, you know, there's an example in the Bible where Jesus knew that Judas would eventually betray him, but he still chose to build a close relationship with him because he knew the current bond and relationship that he was going to have with him was worth the future pain. And he decided to choose to love him despite future disappointment. And he knew that hurt and pain and heartbreak is actually your greatest strength because of the way that you grow out of it. And I feel like it's just so important to remind yourself that you should never regret showing someone love, and you should never regret showing someone that you care, even if they didn't accept it in the way that you wanted them to or in the way that you deserved for them to accept it. there's no reason for you to regret giving that love, because one day someone's going to take your heart when you give it to them, and they're going to protect it with their lives. And you don't want to shut that part of yourself out. You don't want to self-sabotage yourself into not giving someone your heart. And it's a very scary thing, especially when our heart gets broken more than once. It could happen twice, three times, four times. It could happen a multiple amount of times. I'm not saying give your heart to everyone in the world, because not everyone is worthy of it. But at the end of the day, I think it's so important to be able to open up to people and to not have to hide who you are. And I know obviously that's me having a more optimistic mindset about people treating your heart right, but I'm very aware that there's some people that will take advantage of that and that are selfish and will take advantage of a good heart and take advantage of a good girl. But it's more important for me to show that side of myself and to show my feelings and my emotions, my vulnerability, than to hide it away because I'm afraid. You know, I'd rather deal with the heartbreak and grow through it and strengthen myself through it than hide it away and not know what good could come out of it. So that was everything I wanted to talk about in today's episode. This was definitely a deeper episode than usual. I feel like since reading this book, I just like realized a lot of things, and I wanted to talk about it because I see this so much from people, especially in your 20s. I hope you guys have an amazing week. Make sure you guys follow me on all my socials linked down below. I put all my socials and everything in the description below for you guys to find. I will also put the link of this book in the description below. I think I bought it on Amazon, honestly. It's an amazing book. I might even do a part two on it once I keep reading it, because I feel like I didn't even go through as many points as are in there but thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you have an amazing and safe weekend, and I will talk to you next week.